you have your Bible today, open up to the book of Genesis. Today we're going to be in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through 14. The title of today's sermon is, God Will Make a Way. God Will Make a Way. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And God's word says, Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering, as one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of the young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to this young man, Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of his burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father! And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. They came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And so he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on that lad or do anything to him. For no, I know that you fear God, and since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and he took the ram and he offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the provider, God. Not only do you provide the things we need for our daily lives, Lord, but you provided your one and only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins, Lord, so that if we believe in him, we'll never perish, but we'll have everlasting life. God, it's amazing the things that you provide every single day, from the rays of sunshine when we walk outside, to the beautiful smells of flowers, to the breath that we have in our lungs, to the heart that beats another day. God, we thank you for those things. Lord, I know we live in a day in a society, as Brother Thomas had shared with us, where we're going through tough times. We have hurricanes that they're recovering from in the Houston area and all of Texas and Louisiana. We have another Hurricane Irma coming through in Florida area and going up through part of the Carolinas. God, we have fires in the West. But you know what, Lord? You still are the provider. Lord God, we pray that you would provide for every one of their needs, whether they be in shelters, whether they be in their homes and are recovering. God, we just pray that you be with them and their families. And God, here in Central Kansas, we pray, Lord, that you would be with us as well, Lord. We have that promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. But there may be some here today that don't know you as their Lord and Savior. There may be some here today that wouldn't go to heaven if something drastic was to happen. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that you would just anoint us, Lord, as we share the message today, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd use me as a speaker, God. And, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just work through me in a mighty way as I deliver the message you laid on my heart today. Thank you, Lord, for blessing every single one of us, Lord. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. 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 So have you ever been in a situation before? A situation where it was tough. A situation where there was a problem and you wondered, is there any way I'm ever going to be able to get out of this problem that I'm in? You ever been in a situation like that where the problem was such a big problem, you just felt like there was no solution, there was no way out, you were just stuck in this tunnel, and you can't get out of there? Has anybody ever felt like that before? Yeah, amen, I felt like that in basic training, I'll tell you. And there was a way out, but he was a big drill sergeant, and if I went through that door, bad things would happen. But I'm telling you, we've all been in situations like that, where we felt like we're in a problem, we're dealing with a situation, there's just no way out. Is anybody dealing with something like that today? Where you have a problem like that? Yeah, amen, that's good. Well, this is the message for you. The Bible truth we're looking at today, it's a well-known truth. This scripture has been around for years and years and years. There's been hundreds of thousands of sermons preached on the same set of scripture that I'm going to share with you today. And many of them talk about Abraham's faith. And a lot of them talk about Isaac's respect for his father. Others might talk about showing Abraham passing the test. But as you know, God's word is a living word. And what that means is his word is always changing. You can read the same set of scripture today and tomorrow and every day for the next year, and God can speak to you in a different way through that same message. His word is alive. And so as I was reading the scripture again this week, God just touched me and he was encouraging me and he was using this message, and I thought, boy, I have to share this with the people that I love. And so what I want to do is I want to use this message to encourage you. I want to use this message to tell you that even though you might feel like you're in the middle of chaos today, whatever you're facing, God will provide a way. And so as we get into the scripture this morning, we look at the story of Abraham's life. Abraham was a particular interesting character. We met Abraham back in Genesis chapter 11, and we met him there when all of humanity had turned against God. Everything was in bad shape, such bad shape that God flooded the entire earth, and the only persons that were left were Noah's family. And so we meet Abraham in Genesis chapter 11 in another particular situation when everybody again is turning against God. And so you know what they try to do, Brother George, is in verses 1 through 9 in Genesis 11, they start to try to build this tower, a big tower, a tower that goes all the way to the heavens. Does anybody know what that tower is called? Yeah, the Tower of Babel. And so they believe that they are so good, that they are so smart, that they can build a tower all the way to heavens. And again, guess who they're going to give the glory to? Themselves and not to God. And so in the midst of all this chaos, we meet this man, and his name is Abram. And God starts to implement his plan of salvation through this man, Abram. And so at this time, Abram, he gets called, and God calls him to do a strange and mighty thing. God calls him and says to leave this wonderful land that you're living and go somewhere else where I will show you. Now, he doesn't say, go to town X or go to town Y or go to town Z. He says, just pick up everything you have, tell your wife and everybody, and go to this place that I'm going to show you. I mean, I love my wife, but if I went to her and said, Shannon, you know, the Lord had spoke to me, and we just need to sell everything. Well, you don't even need to sell it. We just need to pack it up, put it in the pickup truck, and we just need to go where God's showing us. She'd say, Alan, is this another stunt to try to get me to your mother's house? But that's what Abraham did here. Abraham listened to the Lord, and so he followed him. And so what happened was God told Abraham, leave your hometown of Ur and go to this new land that I'll show you. And so during his travels, God initiates this covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. He says, you know what, Abraham? He says, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars. I'm going to make your descendants be as numerous as the grains of sand. And so Abraham's like, well, that's a good idea, God, but we have this one problem. I have this wife, and she can't have any kids. And so if my wife is barren and she can't have children, how am I going to have descendants as numerous as the stars? So Abraham and Sarah, they got a little frustrated. Have you ever been frustrated with the Lord before? It's okay to be honest. Yeah, sometimes we get that way. And so here we're frustrated. They're frustrated. And so he says, how are we going to have descendants as numerous as the stars when my wife can't even have a single baby? Not even one. And so you know what they do? They do what often we do when we are too impatient to wait on the Lord. They take matters into their own hands. And so Sarah gives her maidservant Hagar to Abraham. And they have a baby named Ishmael. But guess what? That wasn't part of God's plan. That wasn't what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to wait. Now, how many times have you gotten yourself into a bad situation because you won't wait on God? Has that ever happened to you before? Sure it has. You give God time frames probably if you're like me. I'm not trying to speak for you, but I know there's been times where I've prayed and, Lord, I've been praying for this. I've asked you for time. I've asked you for this. I've asked you for that. I know you're going to answer. Nothing. Then I pray more. But it seems like nothing happened. So then I'm like, well, you know, it worked for Gideon. Gideon was like, hey, if you make the ground all wet and this piece is dry, then I'm going to know it's you. So I say, God, I'm giving you till Thursday, Lord. You got till Thursday. Make this happen. And you know what happens? I think God is like, Alan, have you not learned yet? What is wrong with you? And so Thursday come and goes, Lord, I told you. I'm going to take this into my own hands. And I think God looks at me like, are you threatening me, Alan? Who do you think you are? No, God, not threatening you. Just kidding, big guy. But then I take matters into my own hands. Well, maybe what God wants is me to do what I think is right. Oh, no, God does not want that. But yet I do it, and then I get myself into all kinds of trouble. And that's what happened with Abraham and Sarah. They decided, well, we know how to make this happen. We know how babies come about. And so they went this other direction. But that's not what God wanted for them. And so several years passed. And then this angel comes down and it reminds them that they are going to have descendants as numerous as the stars. And while this angel is there, Sarah laughs. She's like, she starts laughing. She's like, me? I'm almost 90 years old. I mean, I don't want to make this uncomfortable or anything, but Carol, would you give the birth to a baby right now? No, why not?
Too old to raise it.
You don't want to change diapers is the real reason, isn't it? It has nothing to do with giving birth. Come on, I know they do C-sections. That's like a 30-minute deal, like going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. But giving, but changing diapers for another how many years? You don't want to deal with that, do you? No, but well, but sometimes you do what you got to do, don't you? And so she's thinking, I'm almost 90. How am I going to have a child? It's not going to happen. And so she laughs. But you know what happens a little while later? She gets pregnant. That's right. And she bears this son. And this son's name is Isaac, which means laughter. And so she has this baby that just like the angels told her she was going to have, she has it. And so, wow, her mind is kind of blown. Abraham understands this is how it was supposed to happen. My descendants are all coming this way. And so he's excited. They're so happy they have this promised son. And that brings us to the scripture where we're at today in Genesis chapter 22. You see, God called Abraham to bring Isaac up to this Mount Moriah as a sacrifice. Now, this doesn't make sense to Abraham. He's like, what are you talking about? He's got to be thinking that. But how are all these descendants going to come from a son now that I have to sacrifice? But you know what? Abraham's faith never wavered. God told him to go, and he went. Look at what the scripture says. Verse 3, it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young man, stay there with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. He knew that somehow he and Isaac were coming back. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his dad, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there. and placed the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, what a situation Abraham was in. How is God going to provide a way out of this? Abraham must have been thinking, well, if he slays his son, how is God going to bring these descendants as numerous as the stars through this promised son? Is God going to raise him back to life? But even in this situation of extreme heartache and despair, Abraham trusted God. Abraham didn't necessarily know how it was going to end, but he knew God, and he knew that God was love, and he trusted that God would bring him out of it. How many times do we get into a situation where it looks dire, where it looks like there's no way out, where it looks like we're hopeless, and we take matters into our own hands instead of trust God? Abraham trusted God. And you know what? God brought him out of it. Look at these scriptures in verses 10 through 14. It says, Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on that lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your one and only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and he looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and he took the ram, and he offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. You see, God made a way out for Abraham. He provided a ram at just the right time, at just the right place for the offering. And brothers and sisters, the reason I'm sharing this message with you today is because some of you are going through a problem that's very difficult too. And I want to tell you that God is going to provide a way out of that situation that you're dealing with. You just have to be like Abraham. You just have to trust. You have to believe. You have to have faith. And you have to wait on what God tells you to do. There's a couple of scriptures that support this. Philippians 4:19 says, God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It doesn't say he's going to supply part of them. What kind of God would that be? It says he will supply all of them. Matthew 6:33, one of our favorite verses. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Folks, God will provide for you. There's no question about it. He will make a way for you just like he did with Abraham. Just ask David Whittington. God made a way for David Whittington by providing him a job at just the right time that would help him support his family, that would help him build his confidence, and will put him in a new place to witness to others and share the love of Christ. And because God did that for David, David witnessed to Aurora and Melanie, and they have now accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen? God will provide a way. Ask Sister Carol. She was a woman who was limp. She had to come in and she had to walk with walkers, and she had to walk with canes, and she couldn't come to church most of the time because she was hurting. But God provided a way for her. He healed her of that pain. And he gave that walking difficulty that she had, he tossed it away. And look, she's here with you today. So praise the Lord for that, huh? God will provide a way. You look at Lewis and Deborah. They've been taking care of two different homes, dealing with bills in two different houses, problems and renters and things like that. And what they done was they just prayed and prayed and said, Lord, this is your house. We want your will to be done with this house. And guess what happened? They put it on the market, and a week later they have a contract for it to be sold. Praise God. Folks, God will provide a way. You could ask Brother Lee. He's not here right now, but you could ask him. Well, he was wondering, what am I supposed to do? And God gave him a way to come back to Emporia. He fell in love with a wonderful lady. He's got a job to be able to support his family. And now he's in a better financial shape than he's ever been in his entire life. God delivered for him. You guys all know Anthony. Anthony was a man who lived in a life filled with struggle. He lived up in Kansas City, a bad area. He fell in love with a woman who helped him and a woman who cared so much about him. And then God helped him to be able to be the first person in his entire family to be able to graduate with a 4-year degree. And now Anthony is working for a great company in Madison. He's learning to live for God and he's being a great husband. God delivered a way for him. How many times have we sat here and said, we don't know how this new building's going to come about. We don't have any money for it. We don't know how it's ever going to come about. We want to have a place where people of all different types of abilities and disabilities can worship in a flat sanctuary with the Lord. How long is that going to happen, Lord? What are we going to need to do? And you know what God did? God showed us a way to be able to provide money, to be able to raise funds for the church. He showed us a way to be able to witness to others in the community by planting a little seed of kettle corn and a couple crochet gifts. And now look at what God is doing through this ministry. So praise God. Over $20,000. Folks, God loves you. He will make a way for you. I don't care what storm you're going through right now. You might not realize it in your life, church, but God is making a way in your life too right now. You might not be able to see it. You might not understand it, but I can assure you, He loves you and He is working in your life right now. The question is, can you see it? You see, even though Abraham couldn't see it, he trusted and he believed. And we have to do the same thing. There may be days where we can't see it, but we still have to trust. We still have to faith. We still have to believe. You know what? God is making a way in Brother Ron's life today. He is going to bring you through that heart pain that you have, brother. Whether it's a physical healing or whether it's a healing and bringing you to heaven and reuniting you with your wife, brother, God is going to heal that heart problem that you have. Amen? Amen. God is making a way for Ronnie and Connie. He knows you're miserable in that job, Ronnie. He's looking for that perfect place for you, that job that's going to make you happy, that God job that you can bring Him glory. He knows you have your house up for sale. He knows that you want to sell it, but He knows the perfect timing. He knows the right family to move in there. And so you just got to wait and trust in Him, but He will deliver you. God will make a way. We know that. Amen. We got Brother Gary. He's a friend of ours, a family member, a person that we love, a man who has some kind of blood problem, some kind of blood disease. No doctors, the Mayo Clinic, nobody knows what's going on. But that blood issue that he's dealing with, that one that took him to the hospital again for another 3 units of blood, God has a plan and a purpose for him. He's got to keep on witnessing to those nurses and doctors. He's got to keep on praying to those people that God puts on his heart. And the ministry he's doing now is probably the best ministry he's ever done in his life. That man sits and prays and prays and prays. He witnesses to every person he knows. He knows that someday he is going to come through it. Just like God loves Gary, He loves you, brothers and sisters. God has never left you. He has never forsaken you, and He is making a way for you today. There's no reason to give up because God has a plan and a purpose for you. I know there's been times where Bill has been a little disappointed, been a little discouraged, and Angela, they're trying to make a way and find a house or an apartment or a home. But you know what? God knows what you're looking for, and He's going to help you with that too. Folks, we get so buried down. We get so worried with these things of life because we can only see what we can see in front of us. But God is doing millions of things in the background because He wants to make a way for you. Think about that. It's a time, folks, where we have to start exercising our faith and be like the Abrahams of this world. We can't just have faith in the things that we see. We have to have faith in things beyond that. We have to trust. We have to lean not onto our own understanding, but lean onto what God wants for us. Abraham had no idea how God was going to provide a sacrifice, how God was going to keep His promise through this son, how God was going to increase his descendants to be as numerous is the stars. He had no idea, but he trusted God. And folks, we have to trust God too. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it like this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That storm that you're going through, folks, It's only temporary. It's not going to rain forever. God's going to deliver you as you continue to seek and to trust in Him. You just have to keep trusting Him until that storm passes by. Isn't that right, Sister Alva? Once that storm, it's going to pass by sooner or later. Don't give up. God is making a way for you. Folks, that situation you're in right now might seem hopeless. It might seem like the Lord is just not there, like you can't hear Him, you can't see Him, you don't know what's going on. But I can promise that He loves you. And just like He was there with Abraham, He is there with you. God is getting ready to make a change in your life. Philippians 1:6 says it like this: being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God hasn't given up on you. As a matter of fact, He's calling you to Him right now. But you got to be ready to step up and step out of the situation that you're in. You got to say, God, I trust You. I believe in You. I'm going to stop taking matters into my own hands and messing them up. And I'm going to trust and I'm going to believe and I'm going to have faith in You. God is ready. But what about you? You have to ask and make that decision. Isaiah 43:18-19 was in our song today. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The scripture tells us that God is doing something great. He's doing something fresh. He's doing something new. But there is a little conditional requirement. You've got to let go of the old. You've got to let go of that worry. You've got to let go of that attitude. You've got to let go of that sense of defeat. Because today is a new day. And every day is a gift from God. You need to seize the day. And this gift that God gave us, this 24 hours that He blessed us with, you got to use it to trust Him and live for Him. But you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, we get so wrapped up in these things of the world. We get so concerned about the short time that we have here on earth. We worry about material things. We worry about money. We worry about health. But folks, here our life is short. This is only time to prepare for eternity. There's a song that touches me. I'm just going to sing one verse of it. Hymn 656 says, this world is not your home. So don't get too comfortable here. Your home is heaven. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if He is your Lord and Savior, your citizenship is in heaven. And let me tell you, in heaven, there's no sorrow. There's no mourning. There's no crying. All that stuff is gone. There's no sin. And so think about this is where your home is, in heaven, not here. Listen to the scripture. It says, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, You know I have no friend like You. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Praise God if you're looking forward to heaven. That's where our citizenship is. So folks, I want to remind you, no matter what storm you're facing, no matter what problem you have that's in front of you, your God is bigger than that problem. God is making a way for you right now. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Once you understand that, you can truly enjoy that worship song we sang. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, walking closely by my side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. Folks, when God closes one door, I can assure you that another is open. He always opens up a better one. So why don't you come down here to these altars today if you want and praise Him for what He's doing. Even if you don't see it right now, even if you don't understand it, come and just praise Him. Say, thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in my life. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fill his good purpose. Thank you, God, for working in us today. Thank you, God, for making a way when we see no way. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us just like you took care of Abraham. Let's stand and bow as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you are amazing, God. You've helped us. You've watched over us, Lord. You've brought us through all kinds of different things in our life, God. And here, sometimes, Lord, we still wonder, where are you? God, we need to restore our faith and our trust in you, Lord. You're doing something great in our life today. We might not see it, Lord, but help us to give you praise. Help us to come down here and say, you know what, God? I'm going to stop taking matters into my own hands, and I'm going to start trusting you, Lord. I'm just going to trust you, Lord. And so as you think about those things, as you think about the message today, as you think about that despair and tough situation Abraham is in with the one and only son that he was promised that his wife had when she was 90 years old, God can do anything, and he loves you. He wants to do something amazing in your life today. He is working on a way to bring you out of that storm. It's not going to rain forever. That storm will pass by. Let's sing this song of invitation in 481. If you want to come and pray or praise the Lord, now is a great time to be able to do that.